Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places. It is such a privilege to be with all of you once again in this very critical hour. I am your host, Ava Muhammad, and I, of course, am joined this evening by Brother Terrence Muhammad, my co-host, as well as Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, our Elevated Places analyst and contributor. Now, of course, as our announcer, Brother Bobby Muhammad, said, we are live on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. We're pleased and honored to be streaming live on WKBOL 100.1 FM in Waterloo, Iowa. KBOL also carries The Time and What Must Be Done, and invites you to hear Torchlight with Michael Muhammad Fridays at 11:30 a.m. Central Time. And let's see. Also, Brother Michael has his own program called The Torchlight, and that airs on Fridays, 11:30 a.m. Central, 12:30 Eastern. And, of course, we are so grateful to have the opportunity to host Elevated Places live every Sunday. That's going to be at 4 p.m. Central, 5 Eastern. We are on the Talk of Chicago, the legendary WVON radio, 1690 a.m. on your dial. Now, that is entitled Elevated Places. It's not a replay of this show. That is a live program where I talk to the broader community. So join us on that. And if you're outside Chicago, we stream live on WVON.com. You can also download the iHeart app free on your smartphone or your tablet. And finally, follow me on Twitter at Dr. Ava Muhammad. I love the discussions with you, and I love reading your comments. Now, we invite any and everyone who logs in or listens in to participate in Elevated Places, so call us, 347-324-5091. That's 347-324-5091. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan delivered a brand new message on Saturday, part 48 of the 52-part series, The Time and What Must Be Done. Part 48 is entitled Separation, Independence. That message will be the center of our discussion tonight. And before we get into that, we are going to hear from our beloved brother Terrence Muhammad, who always keeps us up to date and focused on issues and matters of importance to us. Assalamu alaikum, brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam, and welcome everyone once again to Elevated Places. This is the show that you don't want to miss. We want you to start, just like we have a Twitter army for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his series, The Time and What Must Be Done. Make sure you tweet out and let everybody know about Elevated Places, as well as you can tweet Dr. Ava at Dr. Ava Muhammad. Follow her at Dr. Ava Muhammad to find out the latest things. and her lectures, classic and new, at avaspeaks.com. Go to avaspeaks.com. You don't want to miss it. And as she said, the series, The Time of What Must Be Done, you can go to noi.org. You do not want to miss these last messages of this 52-week series by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on the time and what must be done. Also, please go to economicblueprint.org, economicblueprint.org, and support getting land so we can build a nation for ourselves, produce agribusiness, homes, and jobs, and an economy for ourselves. And later on in this program, I know our elevated contributor, Dr. Ridgely, will have more to say about the economic blueprint, as we are already seeing attacks on it already, so we must be doing something right. Also, next week, the Dean Intensive Academy will be in Houston, Texas. The Dean Intensive Academy, you can go to Dean, D-E-E-N, intensiveacademy.com to learn more. We will have wonderful Islamic classes. The one that they had was in Washington, D.C., during the time of the March on Washington. It was a powerhouse. It's going to be from the 19th through the 22nd with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is scheduled to be in attendance, along with Imam Siraj, also Minister Akbar, Imam Sultan Rahman, the first Imam of the nation, will also be in Houston, so you don't want to miss the Dean Intensive Academy in Houston next week, 19th through the 22nd. Also, I just want to give a big shout-out to the city of Detroit. The Hip Hop Caucus had a State of Detroit Town Hall last Sunday, and we had the chief of police there, and I want to shout Chief James Craig of the Detroit, chief of the Detroit Police Academy, Police Department, who said publicly, and it's on live stream, that he wants to work with the Nation of Islam, and he will work with the Nation of Islam to clean up in Detroit. And also our brother Trick Trick, who is formerly, as you were saying, the street, a hustler, but he's now a rapper, but he was in the audience, and they're working together, and they have also verbally committed to being at Savior's Day, an event you don't want to miss, February 21st through the 23rd in Detroit, Michigan. As well as this weekend, our wonderful student regional minister, Brother Abdul Qadir Muhammad, will be on a panel with Reverend Willie Wilson, Malik Zulu Shabazz, and I think our sister Frances Quest Welsons will be there talking about foreclosure, violence in the community, what we're going to do our youth, gentrification. That's at the Great Union Temple Baptist Church from 4 to 7 p.m. on Saturday night. And last but not least, we do want to have tonight a great discussion on our beautiful brother, Nelson Mandela, as we are looking in the news and all of the stuff that's going on and how the strong woman, Winnie Mandela, has been left out of the discussion, but also in the news today about this interpreter that wasn't properly interpreting. But there's a bigger discussion that we can deal with tonight on the show as it relates to our brother Nelson Mandela. So I want to turn it back over to our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, but while we're on, keep tweeting and sending out the word for everyone to tune in tonight to Elevated Places.
Great report, Brother Terrence. Thank you so much. We're also joined this evening by our Elevated Places contributor and analyst, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. And Dr. Ridgely, I want to welcome you on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Glad to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, I know you're glad to be here because you are so dedicated to separation, independence, and land, because you and your wife, Sister Ann, have given a demonstrated commitment and sacrifice down there on Muhammad Farms in Georgia to producing food, which is essential to us for life and as a people. We simply cannot exist without taking control of the process of feeding ourselves. And I wanted to get some comments from you as we get moving. And I just wanted to open up the discussion. As Brother Terrence has said, with the loss of Madiba, Brother Mandela, I'm going to stop using Nelson as of t- today, and I'll tell you why. Because I read where Brother Mandela said that where he got the name Nelson, he talked about the origin of the name Nelson. Mm. He said that prior to, and of course, his tribal heritage is one of stature, royalty. When he went to school for the first day as a young child, he was the first one in his family to attend the formal schooling, and of course this was under apartheid. And when he went, the first grade teacher assigned them English names.
Wow.
And he said that's where Nelson came from. He was never known as Nelson.
Wow.
Prior to that day. And he said he has no idea why that was selected for him, what it meant, but it was put upon him as a young child.
Wow.
I didn't know that until this very day.
It
was so profound how, you know, as the minister teaches us, when someone passes from this life, and at that point we are able to put a period on their physical existence, and then it causes us to take time to go more into depth and get an understanding of the depth of that person's presence among us. You know that old saying, you never miss the water till the well runs
right.
dry.
Right.
And I think that's just so true. And, you know, I remember I saw a TV commercial recently where they said, you know, it's only, you know, when grandma or nana passes away and then you realize you'll never have that pie again the way she makes it.
That's right.
You know, that's when the appreciation really sets in. And I have just been, of course, like most of us, spending a lot of time learning more and more about this extraordinary human being. And it also has given me yet another layer of gratitude and appreciation to Allah and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for Minister Farrakhan and for Mother Khadija. And the extraordinary things that they have done and been able to do, and that includes the bond forged between them on behalf of the Nation of Islam and Brother Mandela. And so I just wanted to read this because, Brother Rizvi, it makes me think of you and my husband as well, because my husband's always talking about, let's get in the ark and close the door and whoever wants to go, let's go and forget these other people. And lo and behold, here's the minister from the writings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Separation Independence, Part 48. And I'm just lifting this where he says, from the messenger, Allah, God, wants to make a great nation out of us, so-called Negroes. However, if we desire to remain the slave or servant for our slave masters and their children, it is all right with Allah.
Wow.
And when I watched him say that, you know, on the screen, I was like, okay, there's my green light. I am going to pivot my conversation to a message of, I'm going to assume people have accepted this. If they haven't, they can just keep going. Because, if Master Farrakhan come in here and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's work and the minister's message, which is the clearest phenomenon on the planet, is his message. If that didn't get it done, I know I don't have. I can't make it clear for. I can't help you. You know. Okay.
That's right. I know I can't do no better.
And that's not the whole paragraph, but I lifted that out. Yes.
Well, that's quite a bit right there, and I think that. I want to say two things. Number one, you know, I'm really appreciative of Master Farrakhan Muhammad and his father for stepping out of the circle of the 12 and actually coming after us when they thought that it was not worth it. So I've personally feel I owe Master Farah Muhammad and his father gratitude for coming over here and giving me the sight that I have, because I would not have had that sight if it was not for them. So I really, I give my life to them, because I owe it to them, because I would have been a Negro. I was born and died a Negro, and I'm glad I'm not a Negro. Now, this other part about these people, I had a customer, paper customer, tell me, look, the 6,000 years, the white man's the devil, 6,000 years is over, so when y'all win, come and get me so I can get my condo. So we got black people who think because they're black, somehow that guarantees them to be in the hereafter. Somehow, when Allah, when God comes to kill the white man, is to just kill the white man, and they're going to kill the Negroes with the white man because I'm black. So I'm going to hold up to the white man because I want some things from the white man, but when God comes, he going to kill him, but he's not going to kill me, but I'm going to still hold up to him for the last minute. So we're playing games with Allah, with God. Yes. And so the minister has made it very clear, the messenger has made it very clear, there's going to be a time when we'll have to close the door. All of those who are on this side will be with us, and all those on that side will be with them. And when the curtain goes down, that's it. So I'm not looking forward to that day, but I see it coming. But, you know, it's just, I don't like, I want to be on the right side of God. I don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, because I know it's coming. Because he's not going to allow this white man to completely destroy the planet like he's
doing.
That's
right.
Going into the very DNA of the planet. He's going to take him out. And I just don't want to be in the way.
Well, you know, and as you're saying, I think it's so important, and it's in the article from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that's in this current edition of The Final Call, and it's repeated over and over by both he and Minister Farrakhan. And I think, you know, those of us who feel as you do the gratitude and feel that, we want to respond to God's desire to make us a great nation. We want to come out from being a subject people. I just can't imagine, after all we've been through and continue to go through, that we don't even want to try something different. But the one thing we got to remember, like you said, with this person saying, come and get me after you get set up, this is not about race in the sense that a lot of people think it is. White people, when we say white, first of all, that's what they call themselves.
Right.
That is how they introduced themselves to us.
So anytime
somebody tells you this is a racist teaching and y'all hate white people and we're all the same, we never said we weren't. They did.
That's right.
You know, they're the ones in Africa, America, South America, Europe, where the signs read white only, colored only. They have made it very plain that we are unalike.
That's right.
And so this isn't something we're imposing upon them. This is something that they agree with entirely, that we are not the same people. That is not up for debate. And I think, you know, Negro politicians and preachers who are out here saying we're all the same, they're enemies. They are doing a disservice to all humanity when they keep pressing to force together two people that are unalike. This God isn't rejecting them because they are melanin challenged. He's rejecting them because of the way they live. And what you just said, Dr. Rizzi, they're destroying the planet and everything on it.
That's right.
And you got to ask yourself, if you wake up tomorrow and somebody's out in your yard digging holes, setting fires, cutting trees down, throwing chemical poison on the ground, shooting your children, choking your dog, You know, what are you going to do?
And
just
you know,
stand
Dr.
there
Ava,
and say, can't we all get along? Yes, sir. Go right ahead, brother.
No. And it's funny that you say that because as I listen to you, you know, that decision definitely has to be made. And I think you, about a year or two ago, you did a lecture, and I keep referencing that lecture, that you said that, you know, you should take a poll. All that want to stay, stay. All that want to go,
right.
go. I mean,
right.
it's
yes.
really that simple because when you start talking about what they're doing, just in the climate change movement, which I'm just now really getting in part of in the last year, the face of climate change and the most meetings I go to are predominantly almost 99% white. And even in these large white organizations, and we had the largest climate change rally, 40,000 in D.C. back in February, they're saying we're not almost at a critical point, but we have passed the critical point of what we're doing with toxins in our air, in our water, in our land that is literally killing people and killing the planet. And so it's almost like how much longer do we as a people want to stay amongst a people when their own people saying that you all are literally killing the planet. You are destroying the planet with fossil fuels. And then on the black side, we are literally seeing our children get killed, murdered. And then we're asking why are we still trying to be amongst people that are causing death all over the planet.
Well, that's an excellent point. And it's true both in South Africa as well as the United States, these systems that they have put in place. We did not develop Jim Crow. We did not develop apartheid. We never heard of those types of systems.
Nope.
You know, where one people are deemed wholly inferior and another people are deemed completely superior. And even in that case, their idea of what superiority means, you know,
okay.
it means that you work for me without compensation. It means I can rape your women and abuse your children. This type of aberrant, bizarre behavior, those of us who call ourselves, whether we're Muslim or Christian or just follow the golden rule, we should be appalled this type of behavior. I just saw yesterday in the news, there was a, you know, when you look at these two disparate systems of so-called justice, now we are living in a time when the wealth disparity is almost beyond comprehension. And it's all greed. It's all predicated on greed. And really, that's what destroys economies, is greed. Because a healthy economy requires a measure of balance.
Right.
So, you know, we talk about excess, and the minister is taught very heavily on greed, and the Quran teaches hard against taking more and giving less. It teaches hard on usury, charging money for money.
Right.
Well, now we've reached the point where here's a young man, Caucasian, 16 years old, Texas, surprise, surprise, from a very wealthy family. And by the way, everyone, if you hear noise, I'm in my car. I still got to be mom. And circumstances are such that I had to run and get the car. Brother Terrence will handle callers if I'm still out running around. And it is minus 20 with the wind chill factor here in Chicago. But anyway, all of that nuts. Because, you know, Allah is just putting them in a deep freeze, and it just is what it is. But this young man, this young white man in Texas, a teenager, 16 years old, super wealthy, goes out, gets drunk, smokes reefer, takes Valium, everything he can put in his system is in there, gets in a car, and he starts driving. Meanwhile, there's a young lady in a residential neighborhood who is driving, and she gets a flat tire. You know where I'm going with this. And she gets out to attend to her automobile, and she's not far from her house. And some neighbors come out, a woman and her daughter come out to help the young lady. So there's these three females dealing with this tire, and a young man who's a pastor, and these are all Caucasian people, there's no race here. He's a youth pastor, I should say, at a nearby church. He comes by, sees these women. He gets out to help. So you got a mom, a daughter, a young lady, and a youth pastor, four people. And here comes this teenager, high, 70 miles per hour, residential street. He literally plowed into them. He killed all four of them.
Wow.
All four of them. When you look at the video of the bare of her automobile, it's unbelievable. And he was in one of those big, gigantic, crazy-looking trucks, custom-made. You know, not because he's out at Muhammad Farms doing work.
Come on.
Okay? Which is what a pickup truck is designed for. He's just out joyriding, having a good time. And he plows into these people. He kills them. He's charged with homicide of some degree, 16, so he's a juvenile, goes to court. I hope everybody's sitting down. His defense lawyer puts a psychologist on the stand, and this is to both of your points how they got to go. They put a psychologist on the witness stand who determines, says he has determined, after examining this young man, that he should be found not guilty because he has a mental disorder. What is the disorder? He is so rich, he can't tell the difference between right and wrong.
What?
Woo!
Come on.
Excuse me? What? Sorry. Hey, you messed me up with that one.
And I'll be right back. You all continue. I'll be right back.
And I think if Dr. Ridge, I think that may be the one that I think I saw somebody post on the web, and I think he only had 10 months. It was something, but it was just unbelievable, like you said. I don't even know what to say.
So, in other words, he's not guilty because he has a mental problem, and since he's rich, he can't tell the difference between right and wrong, good and bad. Well,
right.
They may have a point. Because when you're super rich, you know, they don't believe in God. They think they can buy their way out of in and out of everything. And the only thing that counts is whether you got money or whether you don't have money, not whether you're right, not whether you're wrong, not whether you're good, not whether you're bad. It's whether you have money.
Right.
And if you don't have money, you don't count. So I can understand that from their point of view. And this is why they got to go, because they don't see right and wrong. They only see power, rich, and poor. And the people who got money is supposed to rule over the people who are poor, and that's the way it should be. And there's no right or wrong except I determine it, because I am God of the planet. You know?
Right.
And on that issue, going back to this naming of Mandela, This is the arrogance of them. Well, I'm going to name you. You know, when you look at the movies and they go to another planet or something, and they see a being, and you say, and you point at yourself, you know, Ridgely, my name Ridgely. Then you point at them, and they're supposed to say, I don't know, Ridgely, tell me my name. No, they don't say that, right?
Right.
They give you their name, and that starts communication. But no, here a white man comes into Africa and say, oh, I'm not going to ask you your name. I tell you what, your name Nelson. Okay? That's that type of arrogance that goes right to this 16-year-old and to the psychologist and the lawyer because, yes, it is right. They don't consider anybody else as having significance. They don't understand why they should have significance because they're not rich. If they're not rich, they don't have no significance. Unless they work for me. Now, if they work for me and I run them over, then I got to get somebody else. But these people don't work for me. So I don't understand. Why should it matter?
Yeah,
respect
true.
For life.
No respect for life.
True.
No
yeah,
respect for life.
And one of the things... Go ahead, Sister Ava.
No, go ahead, Brother Terrence.
No, I was getting ready to say, you know, one of the things that I had to catch myself with as you were saying it, I met a sister when I was in Detroit, and she's from Sierra Leone. And she's part of a committee that works out of in Detroit for us. And she gave us a name, but then somebody said, oh, her name is something, Hoodie or Hottie for short, because people couldn't properly pronounce her full African name.
See?
And I thought about how we usually, you know, shorten people's name, but African names and people that are indigenous, their names have meaning. So when we do the abbreviated, we actually cut life out of the name that they've been given because we don't want to say the full name, which gives power and life to them, which their indigenous mother or father's named them under, but we want to give them a nickname. That's why the Quran said we should not use nickname because we're not now speaking life into them based off the name that was given to them that has meaning to it. So the enemy gives us these quote-unquote names that have no functionality or meaning to them at all.
That is so important, you know, and we all know coming into the Nation of Islam, one of the first things we hear from any rostrum is we were robbed of our name, our language, our religion, because as Brother Terrence is pointing out, that's what makes the person, and name is that's recognition.
Right.
You know, cognizant, to be knowledgeable of and aware of, cognizant, recognize, again. So if I come up and say, my name is Ava, and you say, well, I'm going to call you Ave.
Come on.
Then you have reduced me to what's convenient for you. And you've become the center of my existence. There's no personal respect. So Kunta Kinte was told, your name is Toby, boy.
Yep,
that's right.
You know, because that's what we're comfortable with. We don't care nothing about Kunta and Kinte and what that means. But I think that is so important. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, unlike any other black leader ever among us, and that's how you know. And I know it's difficult to wrap our minds around the idea that we're saying he met God in person. So you don't have to accept that right away. But you have to accept this. This man he met was extraordinary, and he came with a knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that transcends, exceeds, and is above the reach of this knowledge.
That's right.
Because no other black leader ever stood up in America, and I respect them all, and whether it's Marcus Garvey or Dr. King, or whoever, none stood up and said, we reject the name.
Come on.
Given us by our slave master. That was not our name when we arrived here in chains, kidnapped victims. And therefore, we're giving them their names back. Nobody else ever said that.
That's right.
Or did that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right. And Dr. Ava, we do have callers on hold, and right now we can go ahead and go to the phone lines and go to Brother Muhammad. And Brother Muhammad, welcome to Elevated Places. You're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I'd like to make a couple of points, if I may. Speaking of the names, I'm glad the name came up, because this weekend, I believe it was, the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught us something about the name when he wrote about how Thomas Jefferson tried to warn white people that slavery, they would reap the killing of God from slavery. And Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, and I'm paraphrasing, they took Thomas Jefferson's name out of the Constitution, therefore they took his spirit out. So when you remove a name or change a name, you remove the spirit. And if you remove the spirit, you take that person's life. Another point I would like to make is, like the Sister Ava started with Nelson, we only have one problem as black people. That problem is we are all illiterate. Not in English are we illiterate. English is not the official language of America. This is why our people keep getting their brains blown out, lynched, and murdered. Bachelor's degree people, master's degree people, and PhD people are illiterate and can't read. That's because the official language of America is not English, it's not Spanish, it's not French or German. The official language of America is white supremacy.
Come on.
And there are only four rules in the language of white supremacy. If you're white, you're all right. If you're yellow, you're a mellow fellow. If you're brown, just hang around. But if you're black, nigga, get back. This knowledge makes the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan more important than the air we are breathing, because these are the only two men to successfully decode white supremacy in the last 6,000 years. And this brings the Holy Quran into play, the 96th chapter, which says read. It doesn't say read English. It doesn't say read Spanish. It doesn't say read text messages on your iPhone. It says what? Read in the name of thy Lord, who created man from a clot. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the clot that is referring to. And see, everyone is illiterate unless and until they fall permanently in love with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And this is why 33% of black men are in prison or under court care. 50% of our females now are lesbian, 50% plus. And this, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan said Saturday how our black sisters have become prostitutes. 40 to 60% of black males are unemployed or underemployed. A big number of black males are gay. 40 to 60% of black males are on drugs and alcohol. So I'll be quiet and let you work with that.
Well, you gave us a lot to work with.
That's a lot to work with.
You know, I just want to say this, and then I want you all to go ahead and carry it for a moment, because that was so powerful about the official language.
Yes.
That right. Brother Muhammad gave us. You know, I was in Milwaukee this past weekend, and the mosque, Muhammad Mosque number 3, is doing a great work pushing the economic blueprint. And they are holding meetings. Uh, meetings with leaders in the city, which I think is very wise, on the economic blueprint, and they're having dialogue, exchanges, and entertaining questions and ideas, and you definitely are feeling that spirit among our people. Many of our people are more than ready to, they've had enough of this, and we just need to identify them. But the point that I wanted to make on name is Student Minister William Muhammad was sharing with some of us from a brother who had come into the Nation of Islam all the way back in the 1940s. And remember, this is mosque number three. This is
right.
This was the third city
right.
where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad opened up a study group and a temple, as they were called at that time.
Right.
And they have a letter that Master Farag Muhammad wrote to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Allah willing, it will be at Savior's Day for us to look at. But in this letter, Master Farag Muhammad is responding to apparently a letter he got from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad where he was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was expressing frustration over making converts in Milwaukee. And Master Farag Muhammad wrote him in the letter, "Brother, I told you, you have to speak the language of the people. You're not speaking the language." And to Brother Muhammad's point, he didn't mean English because that's all that the so-called Negro speaks.
Right.
So it wasn't that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not speaking to them in English, but he said, "Brother, these people have already been exposed to Islam through Brother Noble Drew Ali. And so you can't come to them as though they have no exposure to Islam. They also have been exposed to Marcus Garvey. So they had exposure to nationalism. And if you don't speak to them in the right language, they will throw you up on the rooftop. Ha, ha, ha."
Wow. Now, that's deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, in other words, we better do our reconnaissance and recognize who we're talking to and don't assume who you're talking to, that much, that means you must listen to them for a minute to see where they're coming from. And then talking to where they're at.
Yes, yes.
And
Dr. Reed, brother's saying, this country is, the language here is white supremacy.
That's right.
And
that's
we
right.
better know it.
And
like
Reed,
you also said, that, you know, we were not taught who the white man is in the Holy Quran. We can find it now, but we didn't learn that from reading the Holy Quran. Someone had to tell us who he was and then show us what it meant in the Holy Quran and talking about them. But it didn't wake us up to that knowledge. That was only Master Farag Muhammad who taught us who the white man is and that he's a grafted devil. Now, that is completely new outside, and that is the light that will wake your head up. If you can't see that, then you will not be able to move forward because you won't know who the enemy is and you continue to be tricked.
Powerful. Brother Chairs, you were making a point.
No, I was just getting ready to say one of the things that Dr. Ridgely said, and we're getting ready to also go to the phones, but one of the things Dr. Ridgely said that, you know, you wait to listen and then you know how to speak into it. And that's one of the things about traditional African culture. They waited to see what the child would do and which direction they would go in.
Yeah.
And that's how they would name that child. So we gave, the natives, as we always say, comedy, the natives gave the white man the title Man with Forked Tongue because he saw his ways in action. He knew he was, say one thing but do another thing. He knew he was a liar. So that's how they named them, versus them naming us because they got lost and didn't know they were where they were. But that language of white supremacy is there because it's not a real language. Just like they're not a real people. So that's very interesting that Brother Muhammad brought that out. And I do want to remind all the callers, you know, to call in early because we do want to hear from you. So we have a lot of callers, a lot of guests listening. But if you want your voice to be heard, please call in early to Elevated Places so we can make sure we get you on so we can hear your voice because we like hearing different perspectives and different voices on Elevated Places so we can get the wide spectrum of conversation and thought across our community. But we do have Sister Joella calling on Elevated Places. So welcome to Elevated Places, Sister Joella. I think we're trying to get your mic open. So just give us 1 second. There we go. Sister Joella, you're on Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. Definitely can.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava and Sister
and Dr. Long.
Yes, ma'am. Glad to hear you back, that you made it safely back from Milwaukee. And also Dr. Ridgely, Brother Ridgely, assalamu alaikum. Just wanted to follow up with what Dr. Ridgely was talking about. The one of our so-called brothers said that once we get everything, that we'll get a condominium as such to tell him. But on page 317 of the message to the black man, it says that Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said on separate territories, he said that the American white man is not going to move out of his estate to give to the so-called Negroes. We're not asking you to do any such thing. No, only unless you prevent our going to our own. If you are going to prevent us from going to our own or back where we came from, where you found us, then give us a place here to ourselves. So that is why we understand that separation is very, very important so that we can begin to have our own independent territory and do what we're supposed to do. So thank you all so much, and may Allah continue to bless us, and I'll keep listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Excellent. Yes.
But, you know, all the answers you can find in the writings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, that's the black man, or how they to live, or our Savior has arrived, or fall of America. I mean, he really gave us all the answers to what we need to do. We just have to make up our minds that we're going to do it. And the trick of the devil is just give you enough to keep you with him long enough to go to hell with him. That's all he has left because he knows his time is up.
And, you know, one of the things I would add, Dr. Ridgely, you know, I was having a discussion with a young gentleman today, which is very interesting. I was standing in a room, and the room to the physical eye looked clean, but I know if I were to put on a white glove and walk, you know, took my hand across the room, I would have found dirt and dust. So depending on what lens you're looking at through, or depending on how your perception is, you may have all of the knowledge right in front of you, but if you don't perceive it as your answer, your salvation, then you won't pick it up and you won't utilize it because you don't perceive or believe that it is what it is. That's why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we know that we have to properly look at him not as an orator, not as a civil rights leader, not as a humanity leader, but through the lens of Scripture, the Holy Quran and Bible, and we can properly place him and see him, and then we can properly give him his due and respect and follow him based on how we see him in that way. But we have to have those proper lenses, and I know the books that you reference help us to see properly, but most people don't even see those books as viable tools in our liberation.
That's an excellent observation. You know, we've got to become much more sophisticated and advanced in how we are viewing not only the minister, but ourselves.
Right.
He has said over the last few lectures to the audiences, he's told us to look in the mirror at self. Because one of the horrific consequences of being in slavery and in servitude is you're required to think about the slave master's comfort level. And not only do you not have time to think about your own advancement, you don't have any time to engage in self-analysis of your own character development. That really requires downtime, free time. And that's what the Creator wanted us to do, pardon me, is engage in self-examination, self-analysis, and self-correction.
Right.
And it's just time to do that. But I'll be right back again. Sorry.
No problem. Good. And while we're waiting on Dr. Ava to come back, we have this wonderful and powerhouse brother that's getting to call in. But remember, you can call in to 347-324-5091. Once again, 347-324-5091. And not only call in on the current discussion, but call in about our brother Nelson Mandela and your views and your thoughts and concerns about his legacy, about how his present commentary that's being taught about him now. But we want to welcome our brother, our great brother, Dr. Salam, to the air. You're on Elevated Places, Dr. Salam.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam.
Dr. Ridgely.
Assalamu alaikum.
Good to hear your voice, my brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Where did the Queen go to get some gas for Brother Terrence?
I'm
plane?
Back. I'm running around doing my mom duties.
I thought he had sent you to the gas pump.
He's multitasking.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. You know, Dr. Ava, you mentioned did mention Sister Winnie Mandela earlier. You know, when her husband got in trouble, this lady stood up in the midst of the fire, and she fought and created a revolution herself. So we got to give her those prompts also, because she didn't hold back at all. But you mentioned mirror just a few minutes ago. I believe you said that, how we mirror ourselves. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And that's all about behavior. Behavior is the mirror in which everyone reflects their own true image. And that's the whole message, I believe, of the time and what must be done. What our people are truly waiting on, let's get to the grid of it. Our people are waiting on a worldwide press conference for white people to say, okay, it's over, we endorse Minister Louis Farrakhan. And brothers and sisters, that will not happen. That's not going to happen. He doesn't have to be endorsed. The messenger endorsed him, and Master Farah Muhammad endorsed the messenger. So we know he's on a good path. So that's not going to happen. You endorse him, and you will be in good hands. And the minister said, I think it was in 96 or 97, he was giving a lecture and about Milwaukee ways. He said, if white folks love me, you all would run over them getting to me.
That's right.
And he said that in those words. I wrote that down and stuck it in my Quran, and I'll never, never forget that. But what happened to us in our past has a lot to do with what we are today, and that's the mirror that Dr. Ava mentioned. And that's all I got. I just want to hang up and hear some more of this fire, because it's coming to a point where separation is not going to be a choice. We are believers.
Oh,
we are believers and bearing witness to the God, the messenger, and the Christ in our midst. But there's going to come a time the separation is going to be forced, and you're going to be running, trying to grab our coattails. But the this, you know, one man dedicates his life to over 100 lectures to save his people. I just can't think of nothing else to say but Allahu Akbar. Thank you, and I'll listen.
That's exactly right. Thank you, sir. Well, that's, he's exactly right. And, you know, brothers, to the point of the minister saying if white people loved him, we would jump over them to get to him, that's what's going on with Nelson Mandela. You know, what I, as I mentioned last week and Sunday, what I really resent about this process that's taking place now, in the wake of the death of Brother Mandela, is white people have defined him, and they have defined our response to him.
Right.
See, for their presentation of our brother is as the first. See, they love that first black title. And I'm not saying that to be sarcastic, because I've had that title. I was the first black female assistant DA in Queens, New York. They love to say we're the first this and that because it suggests that we're so incompetent and slow that it took us centuries to become anything.
That's funny.
Right. See, that's how it's portrayed to their children. Yeah, this is the first black person that was qualified to play ball, okay?
Right.
So, and the little white children are like, man, they're just mentally challenged. You know, finally they produced one that could do it. But, see, the first black president of South Africa, are you serious?
Come on.
You know, see, Nelson... I'm saying Nelson out of habit, but Brother Mandela was first and foremost, I mean, besides being a black man and an Aboriginal member, okay, of the people of that continent that is called Africa, he was first and foremost a revolutionary, who became, as a result of his activism, a political prisoner. And then ultimately, after overcoming every attack on his life through the process of torture and imprisonment, he was elected to the presidency in the first majority election ever held. Since white people invaded that part of that continent. But see, the suggestion is that we were a bunch of banana-eating jungle bunnies who were swinging on trees until white people came from Europe and taught us civilization. And after hundreds of years, we were able to qualify to be a president. And in fact, they're so beneficent toward us, the savages, that they did away with apartheid, which separated the civilized from the savage. They did away with that and allowed us to move among them. Because over there, we're just like we are over here, deprived. And that's why Muhammad's economic blueprint is freedom from poverty and want.
That's right. That's right.
And it's still needed here and there.
Well, like you're saying, Minister Ava, that was the first, if that was the first election where everybody could vote, then Mandela was the first president of South Africa, because all the rest of them were not true presidents of the country.
Teach.
They were not elected.
Teach. It was really the first legitimate election.
That's right. It was the first legitimate election. Then he was the first legitimate president.
President.
Of South Africa,
right.
Even, you know, so it's you go into an area, you carve it out,
You cut it up for yourself out of, you know, the, that part of Africa. You call it your country. You don't let the people there vote, and you call yourself president over it, and you rule over them until, see, the reason I let Mandela out, my reading of history, is that there was so much protest, the only way they could
quell
the violence in South Africa was to let him out. It wasn't that he ever relinquished the use of possible use of violence for them to have their freedom.
Right.
And the people organized, and they continued to fight the government. The government said, well, look, we better let him out to stop the violence. It wasn't because he was broken. It's because that he broke them.
Oh, my God, amen. And this is why, you know, thank Allah for the Final Call newspaper and you and the research team and the writings that are in there from our leader, from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Mother Tynetta, Brother Jibril, and the reporting and the guest columnists, because our history is revised daily, in front of us and in front of the world, which goes back to the earlier point of Brother Muhammad about the language of white supremacy. And you just said so many powerful things, beginning with, you know, it's erroneous to say he was the first black president. He was the first president, period. Everybody else was a thug. You know,
right.
They love to call heads of state of nations, like they used to call Brother Muammar Gaddafi, strong arm, strong man.
Right.
You know, everybody's a dictator or a strong man or a murderer. This, my husband almost blew a blood vessel when this Brian Williams on NBC was talking to someone back here, and he said they were, naturally, the fact that President Obama shook Raul Castro's hand, oh, how dare you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we didn't give you permission to do that. And Brian Williams said to the anchor back here, well, don't think everything is just sweet and nice over here. There are criminals here. That's what he said, criminals. And you know, meaning, you know, people that have not kissed our behind. And they talked about the diplomatic minefield that President Obama has to wade through. See, and look at these people. They're not civilized. You're at a funeral of a head of state. Now, what was President Obama supposed to do? Turn his back, roll his eyes at the president of Cuba? I mean, this is unbelievable. I do not want to be around people like that.
Well, you know,
I don't teach my children like that.
You know, when Brother Mandela first came over to America in 1990, it's up on the internet, the interview with Ted Koppel that they didn't show on ABC, but it's on the internet now. That,
okay.
You know, Ted Koppel was on his case because he had made friendships with Yasser Arafat and Fidel Castro. And he tried to make him divorce himself from Arafat and from Fidel Castro. And Brother Mandela, he just shook the audience up with his very smooth way of handling this man. So he handled this man in such a way that Mandela had to ask the man, because there was silence for a while. And so Mandela said, have I paralyzed you?
Wow.
He had actually paralyzed Ted Koppel on the air with the way he was answering Ted Koppel's questions. And then he said, listen, you do not tell me who is my friend. Okay? Now, you might not like it. You might not like him, but you cannot tell me who is my friend, who is in my best interest, you know? So if you ever get a chance to go to it, in the 1990 when he came out, it's on the internet, look for the Mandela, Ted Koppel, 1990, up at City College. and you will see a real statesman who must have been practicing for 27 years while he was in prison to come out and destroy the myth of white man mental superiority, because he shut Ted Koppel's mouth.
That's why I love Elevated Places. Now, we've got Christina has a question. And Sister Christina, you are live on Elevated Places.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Ava.
Good evening.
I was listening to you speaking about how important it is to teach the truth about Nelson Mandela's legacy. And as a mother, I wanted to know if there were some resources you thought were good in using to teach our children. I have some toddlers, and we often read together. And so what are some good ways that I can start at that early age in sharing with them the truth about his legacy?
Well, number one, I would do it in story form, because you have a man that has a fascinating life, and he wrote an autobiography. I would start with that. I think the best place to go to get an understanding of anyone is their own perception of themselves and their own narrative. Uh-huh. I think that the current edition of the Final Call newspaper is an excellent resource tool, going right to Brother Ridgely's point about the friendships that, and you'll see pictures, the friendships that Brother Mandela made with other revolutionaries like himself.
Uh-huh.
I think that it is important. You can even go on the internet and see young photos. I like for young people to see youth, because in their growth stage, they don't care too much for an elderly appearance. They're just not made like that. And when you see, there is a photo of Brother Mandela that I think was taken in 1937. And he is in a suit and tie. He is young. He is fabulous. He was an exceedingly handsome man. And I said when I saw the photo, he looked straight up FOI in that picture. But you see him with his arms folded, leaning against this building with a suit and tie. He's very young. I would start with that type of photo with the children. And it's a good way to teach them about the continent of what we call Africa now. You know, show them on maps and show them on the internet. The good thing with the internet as a medium and all that's available to us now are the stunning visual that you can give them.
Yes.
And you can let them know that this is where we are from. This is where we were brought from when we were taken into slavery. And that's not our total history, but that's our recent history.
Uh-huh.
And that will interest them. I love that you want to do that, because behavioral scientists have stated that the learning centers of the brain are open most wide at the ages up to from 0 to 3. That is the best time to implant ideas and knowledge in children. It's also the best time to teach them another language. You know, it's been shown that it is much easier for a child to learn two or three languages at once than it is for us to get older and then go back and try to learn a second one, because language is not what we speak, it's what we think. And the longer you live, the more accustomed your brain becomes to identifying a cup as a cup. You know, and so when you learn how to say cup in Arabic, it's difficult for the brain as we get older to switch back and forth. And it's the best way to understand other people is speaking language. And as was talked about at the beginning of this program, language is not only the geographical form, but language is heart, mind, and spirit. But I think it is wonderful that you are doing that. And then also you can let them know that President Barack Obama is from that continent. He is from Kenya.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And this is why he was received with such excitement and love by the people of that land, because he is from there. That is his origin, and then ultimately ours, at least in this last, 40 to 50,000 year cycle. But I appreciate you as a mother saying that and doing that, because that's our job. We're the teachers.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate that so much, because I do look for good quality resources to share with them. So I appreciate everything you said. Thank you.
Oh, you are more than welcome.
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
Since I saw that video on YouTube of Mandela talking with Ted Koppel, there are a number of instances where Mandela is giving speeches or talking. So you might want to look at those and glean from some of those some videos that you might want your children to look at to see him in action.
Okay.
Oh, that's a
great,
great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, beloved. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a great
Well, this YouTube, on the internet and the YouTube, you can learn and see anything you want. You just got to have the right question. And
there
this is where we have the right question. There's a tremendous amount of stuff that's on there, but you got to have the right question. But this goes back to the whole issue, like Brother Terrence was talking about, of understanding what's in a room. If you are not trying to do anything, then nothing has meaning. But if you're trying to do something, you are looking every nook and corner in that room to see if something is there that can help you fulfill a function. But if you're not trying to do anything, then nothing has meaning.
That is so powerful. Yes, that's exactly right. And this is why our children don't stay in school.
Right.
This is why they're dropping out more and more, year by year, earlier and earlier, because they see, number one, that it leads nowhere.
Right.
And number two, we're not giving them a sense of purpose before they go to school. We have given up and given our children away.
That's right.
Yeah, we're not sending them there for academics. We're just giving them to the slave master's children to do what they please with them.
That's right. And one of the things I wanted to read, Dr. Ava, before we get for the show ends, is some of the words of Minister Farrakhan on Mandela. And he states, "We thank Allah God for the power of the former president and the former political prisoner, Nelson Mandela's words and the power of his deeds to see South Africa become free. But the work that he did needs to be completed, and it will not be completed until land taken from black South Africans is returned to black South Africans, and the wealth that is under the foot of South Africans that has been appropriated to others comes back to the indigenous people to whom that wealth belongs." So I had tweeted out last week to our open enemies, and I told everybody, I said, tell them to keep Mandela name out of their mouth unless they're going to do the work and finish the work that he started. And I say that is because as we're talking now, most people believe, remember Martin Luther King Jr. as only having a dream. So what you said about reading his own biography and his own words about himself and looking at other narratives, because as we talk about the civil rights movement from people today, you would think that all of black people were part of the civil rights, when we know that less than it was only about 10% of the black population that was involved in the civil rights movement at its height.
Exactly.
So everybody wasn't involved. So we have to find a way to make sure, and I'm glad you referenced the Final Call, because we know that is the freest and truest newspaper that tells it like it is, to give the true narrative of the life of our leaders and our people,
So when we are referencing things, you know, it's good that we have this Final Call newspaper to make sure that we can tell the real story and tell what really happens. And I think that also the thing that you did mention, that we have to really remember, visuals are the best stimulus for young people and children.
Exactly.
Because once they see it, it stays longer in the psyche of a person versus some of the words. We love to hear the words, but they will always remember a picture and a journey that they took or a journey that they experienced. Because growing up seeing cartoons of jungle bunnies and dark, deep down jungle, I grew up believing that all of Africa was a jungle until I
exactly.
saw cities in Africa. Until I saw a different picture of Africa, I saw a different reality. And that's the beauty of the Million Man March. When the world saw the Million Man March, they saw a total different image of the black men than they had ever seen. Regardless, if someone would have told them that we were civilized, that's not the image visually that they have seen.
Right. Well, we're going to go to the lines again, and we have Brother DeVisi. He has a question. Welcome to Elevated Places, Brother DeVisi.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
I have an observation and a question. My observation is concerning Mandela. The voice of the everyday brother or sister in South Africa was missing from the portrait of Mandela in the media.
Mm. Yeah.
What do you think the everyday brother or sister in South Africa would say about Mandela? Thank you.
Well, see, that's a good question, but how can we answer that? Because the brother just told us that they have not given us an opportunity to hear from them. So hopefully the Final Call will go over there and interview some of the people in South Africa. That's a very good question.
I think it's powerful, it's profound. And what I'm thinking of, though, and you just said it, we got to go. We have to go and get that ourselves. But you know what? I love this show because of the callers, but what Brother DeVisi raised about what they would say, look at how they lined up. Thousands upon thousands of black people to look at Madiba once more.
Right.
And so to Brother DeVisi's point, I think probably we didn't get to see the interviews in mainstream because we don't know their reason. And you know perfectly well it's not what ABC's reason is or the U.S. government or Fox News or Wall Street. But they loved him.
Right.
Because one thing, you're not going to get black folks out in no rain lined up for miles. It's not going to happen. Just because you're not going to tell them to do that. And they booed the current president, by the way.
Mm.
At the memorial? Yes.
Mm. Wow.
When he got up to speak, they booed him.
Mm.
So, you know, you're not dealing with people that hesitate to express their feelings.
Right.
And, you know, something else came out at this memorial service. The big, huge difference, and I know this had to make white people super uncomfortable, the way we handle the passing of a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
See, the singing, the dancing,
right.
the music, and just the overwhelming presence of all those black people. I thought about at one point Dr. Welsing and the fear of genetic annihilation. Because these are some black people, okay?
Right.
That's right.
You know, and to go for all these white people to go over there and be in this beautiful land that they know is not theirs, regardless of
right.
what they say. They know deep down in their DNA they have no business whatsoever being there.
And to see us come together like that, and then for the United States to have in office the son of a Kenyan who spoke to them, and Obama said a couple of words in the native language, and I meant to find out what they meant, because they went off. And I was looking at those white people sitting up there, and they were looking like, oh, my God. You know. And I thought about, there's this joke where Richard Pryor is with some white people in Africa, and they start hearing drums. And they said, what are they saying? And he said, hold on, let me listen. Oh, they said, they're going to kill you.
Okay. Well, you know.
Not us, but you, you know.
Right, right.
That's powerful. Thank you, Brother WC.
Very powerful. You know, it was like when I remember when Mandela first came out, and he was in a stadium in South Africa, and he was full of black people, and there was some white people walking on the sidewalks, and they turned and looked in the stadium, and they kept walking, and I could see on their face, now what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? I mean, it's trying to figure
right.
something out. You know, so...
It's a nightmare for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love what you're saying. We need to... We got to send a contingency over there. We're going to go as we start to close down. The time really went by. We have Brother Shabazz on, and he has a comment. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir. How are you this evening?
Fine, sir. And yourself?
I'm great, by the grace of Allah. You know, my comment is one regarding the subject of Brother Nelson Mandela. And I guess my comment could be put this way. The duplicity that is present today, and with the objective that was initially put forward, they oftentimes say that which can be measured can be accomplished. And I'm wondering, is there a timetable as to when we as a people, as well as the people of South Africa, have set for themselves to, as an ultimatum, as to when they want to be totally free and not controlled or still manipulated by foreign interests, as well as our assent here in America for the same objective.
Awesome. Oh, my God.
Good question.
Yes.
Well, you remember...
And, go ahead, Brother Ridgely.
No, last week you mentioned something that I didn't know, and that was that Mandela had asked the minister asked him about reparations, and Mandela said that he was watching us to see how we handle it in terms of reparations.
And that he and his people would take their direction from us, from their brothers and sisters in America. That's number one. And number two, to Brother Shabazz's point, all during this week there were comments, and I forgot her name on CNN, Christina Lampour, I can't recall her last name, but she made a statement that was so insulting, but it gave you insight. And she said that Nelson, her words were, Nelson Mandela understood that without white people, there could be no black people. And this is why he persuaded his people to be peaceful in their response to the change from apartheid, not to engage in violence, et cetera, which nothing could be further from the truth, of course, but that mindset, that language of white supremacy, and to the issue of the timetable, it is when we recognize that nothing could be further from the truth, this idea that we need white people. I think that is what's keeping them in power in America, and it's what's keeping them in power in Africa. It's perception, and that's all it is. And Dr. Ridgely, you've already covered that. That you know that this false idea that we wouldn't have anything.
Right.
If they weren't here to make it, if they weren't here to teach us and guide us. So when we finally come out of that and we are moving faster and faster toward that moment because we have no choice, but when we see that light, that's when it will come to pass.
Yep, that's right. And we have to be willing to accept death. You know, you're going to die from something. You might as well die trying to be free. You see, this is the ultimate, one of the two ultimate things that white folks hold over us. And the main one is that we're civilized. See,
right.
We are civilized. We are not savages. We are not suicidal maniacs. We're
right.
not evil people. So we're always trying to figure out a way to deal with humans. What we have got to understand is that these people are not humans. They're mankind. And that they will, and we know this, because you said, why do we separate? Well, we separate, this is the Battle of White Syndrome. If we leave them, we know that they will send bombs over there and blow us up. And so we're afraid to leave them because we know they're going to send bombs and blow us up. We know they're the devil. So since we know they're the devil, we've got to accept being blown up because they're going to kill you anyway. Slow death or fast death. At least we have a chance if we sit together and we go do for self. But Mr. Farquhar is going to bring it in the next couple of weeks. We got a plane. We got a plane, okay?
Part 50.
We got a plane. So, see, we got to accept this so we can get up out of here because we do have protection now. Before, we didn't have a plane. We didn't have the body protector. We got a plane.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the other thing is even the idea that they have all this power and strength militarily, but they've never been allowed to experience us not helping them.
Right.
You know, if you go up in NASA, if you go up in the CIA and the IRS and all these places that we're afraid of, if you go in the U.S. military, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, do you realize the role that black people play in making the armed services what it is?
Right.
You know, do we realize that it was when black soldiers were finally allowed to help the North in the Civil War, that's when the tide turned in favor of the North? Do we understand the role played by black soldiers in World War I, World War II? Do we understand the degree to which they depend on us? So not only do we have a plane and we backed by God, they will collapse.
Right.
They will collapse. We just can't see it.
Right. That's right.
Because we are immobilized by fear, and we have, after 4.5 centuries, bought into this idea that they are God, just like the children of Israel, which was prophetic. But the children of Israel bought into this idea of Pharaoh being a god.
That's right.
But Pharaoh and his people knew that if the children of Israel left, they would have nothing.
That's
they
right.
would have nothing because they would have no one to build and sustain their world. And so I apologize to the callers we didn't get to, and I'm so glad we had some new callers keep calling in. We're not, as Brother Terrence said, we're not selective. We go right down the line, and we only
That's
stop
right.
when we start running out of time. And we've got 1 minute, so I want to give 20 seconds of those to Isabel, who's on the line. Isabel, welcome to Elevated Places. Can you give us a quick comment?
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava. I just wanted to, this is Sister Isabel from Muhammad School of Music in Buffalo, New York. We listen to you every week. My children and I, we don't miss a week. They love to tune in. But I wanted to share quickly a website for the sister that called in. I'm a homeschooler, and we have a homeschool network in the Nation of Islam. It's called EYHSN.com. You'll find lots of lesson plans and reading lists and projects that you could do with your children. It's wonderful of how to teach your own child at home.
Oh, see, I'm so glad I picked this call up. Thank you, Sister Isabel.
Yes, ma'am. And I know MUIHSN. So MUI, like Muhammad University of Islam Homeschool Network. So it's MUIHSN.com. My 5-year-old wanted to give you the greetings. I know you're short on time, but here she is.
I am Fayezia.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand
Dr. Ridley,
new world.
Sister LaDonna, Sister Rona, Brother Bobby, the whole Elevated Places team, Brother Ashad, Brother Timothy, everybody. Thank you so much, and we look forward to being with you next week.